Hi, I'm Matt Heath, and this is my friend Jeremy Wells, and welcome to our daily podcast, which we farted out sometime between 6 a.m. and 10 a.m. this morning.
This podcast is proudly brought to you by MyRepublic. Even if you are listening to this courtesy of another provider, they won't hold it against you. How's that for knowing no limits? What great New Zealanders they are.
And don't forget to subscribe, slag us off, and give us a 5-star review.
Yeah, we are going to win the America's Cup.
We're going to win the America's Cup.
We've got one hand on it right now. Oracle is having an absolute pooper. They got right off the foils there. And Team New Zealand's now out to 185 metres and growing. Birling is just a better sailor than Spittle. For people that haven't been following, we won the first race emphatically and the start, and in the second race, Birling totally outplayed Spittle at the start and forced Spittle to a standstill and then just farted off. And we're now 400 metres ahead and going well.
Look at that. League 5 of 7. So just two to go. We're upwind. We're going upwind at the moment, which is actually where Oracle have made a lot of gains. Like, their boat seems to be a lot faster than it was. In fact, in the last race, they had a faster average boat speed.
We're just going less distance.
Yeah, we're going less distance. So you got to say that's down to superb captaincy by Birling and something to do with the ballast as well that's operating with Took's dog roll.
Yeah. Absolutely. Took's just running that massive dog roll.
Yeah, it's just stabilising things.
It stabilises things because they lost 100 kg, Oracle, in the last week, allegedly, to make themselves go faster. But now they're just unstable and they're only 93.7 fly time, Jerry. They've been off the foils.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you the other thing is because they're all wearing bike shorts and Took's running a dog roll, they make sure that they just parade Took in front of everybody else and he walks past and it's a massive dick drink for those other people.
He does that little bounce on the trampoline in the middle and just waves it right back at Spittle.
Yeah.
And that's even more of a diddle shrinker than losing the races in a lot of ways.
Yeah, so Team New Zealand ahead by quite some distance, maybe 400 metres, and League 5 of 7. So
so get on the phone and make that offer on that Viaduct property. Or Fovo property?
A Fovo property? Oh, you reckon they're going to do it? Imagine these things in the Fovo straight with like 35 knots. Could you imagine that? They'd have to change them around. We're going back to monohulls, aren't we, if we come back to New Zealand? Because the story is that Team New Zealand are the only team that refused to sign a piece of paper that said that it will be stay in Bermuda no matter what.
Right.
And it will be raced every 2 years and it will be raced in monohulls from now on. And I think rightly so. The New Zealanders said, well, hold on, that's kind of not the way the America's Cup works. The way the America's Cup works is whoever wins it decides exactly what's going to happen after that.
Ketch versus Sloop, I reckon.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
that's like what we're going to go for. Scott Watson sort of a race.
Yeah, I think so. Ketch versus Sloop.
Ketch versus Sloop in the Marlborough Sounds.
Hey, but let's not get ahead of ourselves, Jerry. Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Let's get ahead of ourselves, Matt. Come on, let's.
Well, he came back from 8-1 last time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think you should be on the phone to the people at Barfoot and Thompson straight away and seeing what's available down in the Viaduct.
Whatever's available in the Viaduct, offer them double.
Matt Heath, Jeremy Wells, The Hodaki Breakfast.
Great column by me in the Herald today, Jerry, nzherald.co.nz. It's A Boy Called Fart, Why Refugees Are Great, is the headline. And, I mean, I don't want to blow smoke up my own ass, but great column by Matt Heath.
I'm just reading it now, actually. Fascinating story, this one, in regards to your class and Miss and Egg, as she was known, or Mrs. Peg. The way that she introduced Fart, the refugee, to your class in Dunedin, where I can't imagine there would have been a lot of different ethnicities and wouldn't have been massively diverse.
There were none ethnic diversities at my primary school. None. Oh, there was. There was people of Scottish descent and people of English descent.
Yeah, that would have been about it. Yeah, I can imagine. So tell us what happened when Fart was introduced to the class.
Well, before the teacher brought him out, she said, we've got a refugee that's coming to our school, but whatever happens, no one's allowed to laugh at his name when we introduce his name.
Oh,
okay, so anyone that laughs is in trouble, okay? Yeah. And so she brought the refugee in and said, good morning, room 3. This is Fart. And
everybody laughed.
It exploded with
that's
laughter.
That's just horrific.
Yeah. And I was sent to the principal's office because I laughed so much, like snot came out my nose and out my mouth, and it just went all over my book.
So whatever horrific situations Fart, he's from Vietnam, was he?
No, Cambodia or Burma.
So whatever horrific atrocities Fart and his family were fleeing from in Cambodia or Burma, It was probably nothing on being introduced to a class by Egg, as she was known, or Mrs. Pig.
Mrs. Egg.
How did he deal with that fart? How did he come back from
it? Well, a big smile on his face. He was a lovely, lovely chap, and he was very good at football. And he, a great New Zealander, fart. Because his actual name was Vart, V-A-R-T, but it sounded a lot like fart, so we gave him the nickname Fart. And he was a great New Zealander, and we were very excited because we'd never seen anyone of a different race before growing up down there. And then we did, and then it was amazing, and he became somewhat of a he was very popular.
Yeah, I can imagine he would have. He was a massive novelty in Dunedin in those days.
Yeah. But I've written a column about it, and it's interesting, the whole refugee situation, because people say we should have less refugees or more refugees, and then people say things like, well, it doesn't make any difference to the millions of refugees out there, but boy, it makes a difference to one family, doesn't it?
That's right, and that's what it's all about.
Yeah. So what if you think about immigration, if we're going to be involved in wars overseas, we have to take refugees.
You'd kind of think that, yeah. So, and also, what are we at the moment? 4,000 or something?
No, we're at 1,000.
We're at 1,000.
At 1,000 a year.
And we're talking about maybe the Greens are saying that we should bring in 4,000.
Up to 5,000 a year. So increase it by 4,000.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like a bad idea.
Yeah. I mean, it's different from immigration and people scamming, low-level education or facilities that are just actually backdoor entry to the country. That's very different from taking refugees. Those issues should be totally separate. If you're going to be involved in the world, and if you're going to be part of the UN and you're going to go into conflicts like we do, you've got to take refugees. Mm. You've got to do your part.
Maybe they just need to check their names before they enter, or maybe it's just talking to teachers and saying, look, teachers, when you do introduce these guys to classes, make sure you don't do a massive long preamble about not laughing, because that will make children laugh every single time.
Yeah, but maybe we should only bring refugees in that have them using names, because it really, really ingratiates them with the class, you know? It's a good idea. Apparently his name wasn't Vart, but some smart guy at immigration was like, if we're putting him into a dangerously white part of the world, let's give him something funny.
That was a big call from family to move from Cambodia or Burma to Dunedin.
Well, it's chillier.
It's a
chillier
lot,
in Dunedin.
A lot chillier.
Scotty J. Stevenson on Sport.
Sky Sports commentator Scotty J. Stevenson, welcome to the show. What a time to be a Kiwi sports fan. What a time.
Oh, isn't it great? The Black Ferns Sevens, obviously you're referring to.
Yes,
Matt Heath, just won the World Series. The only series that the New Zealand team has so far won this weekend. Not that you'd know it, seeing it's buried about page 17.
Oh, that is an absolute travesty. But taking it back to Eden Park, if we could. Sure. Sky Sports commentator Scotty J. Stevenson, how would you sum that up in three words?
The human ice cream melted.
He had a good game, I thought, the ice cream, actually. It was.
Well, no, he did have a good game, but he was melting under the white-hot heat of Sam Kane's shoulders. Sam Kane is the Jim Snooker of the breakdown. He's from the top rope every single time. I love it. They were measty. Measty is the word for the All Blacks. Measty.
Yeasty.
Part man, part beast.
Yeasty.
Yeasty too.
It was a flattering scoreline in the end, to quote Jeremy Wells, for the Lions, wasn't it? 30-15?
Oh, it was a flattering scoreline. Late try. But 30 points to 8 is really reflective of what the All Blacks did out there. And that, in anyone's language, in Test match rugby, gentlemen, is a humping.
Sky Sports commentator Scotty J. Stevenson, I was thinking about this yesterday. I was watching the replay, and your cutting-edge analysis after the show, may I just say, as a side note, next level as you relaxed in the confines of the Sky Sports studio. Very relaxing to watch and very insightful, but anyway, that's beside the point. A guy like Kieran Reid, I was thinking about this, like, he's not been playing any rugby at all, right? And he comes back in for one of the biggest challenges in world rugby, which is playing the Lions, and he had a superb game. I mean, you wouldn't have known. What's that guy been doing? So the whole time he's been out injured with his, is it a finger or a thumb?
A thumb, yeah.
He must have been, He must have been training incredibly hard to have the fitness to be able to play a test match, like, first up.
Well, I guess the great thing about having your thumb and a little guard is that you can do everything else you need to do, all the cardio work and most of the weights work. And I agree with you, Jerry. He is. I think that was his third game of first class rugby in 7 months.
Well, that's remarkable.
That's a show.
He had a great game, too. He had a good game. Right.
What about Sky Sports?
That's stamina. That is.
Well, I guess you can still do your fitness with a thumb, but what about that punishing scrum by the All Blacks? And then Kieran Ray, just with the sore thumb, just flicked it off the ground with great hands to Dick Pick.
Oh, yeah.
And then Dick Pick distributed it after that, and then that try in the corner. Jesus.
Well, Sierra Leone had hardly touched the ball for the game, and then all of a sudden there he is scoring two tries. But let's go back to that scrum, because a friend of the show, Wyatt Crockett, what a human wrecking ball he is. Straight into the game, first scrum, absolutely tooled them up, and then they scored the try that broke their back. I do love the Croczilla. He's had his critics over the years, but... He might not on that for life.
As a myself as a 10-man rugby lover, I just love that scrum. And the best thing about it was it was technically perfect, because you saw that, first of all, it set beautifully and the set was strong. And then it was the first shove and they got a little bit of momentum going. And then they waited, and then you saw the second and third shoves. And
Keep going.
And they went bang on each one of those shoves. They won, like, as the scrum coach for the All Blacks would have just been absolutely massive wide on when he watched that.
And what about Cody's 8% with the try? You know,
hands.
Robbed me of some money. I was betting heavily on Sierra Leone scoring the try with the pace first, but Cody came in and, geez, I wish I'd put $200 on him getting first try, because they would have been paying a lot, Sky Sports commentator Scotty J. Stevenson.
That would have been a great bet. That would have been paying around 18, I imagine. So, you would have been able to shout the bar after that one, Matty. But I tell you what, the take from the bench, how good. Artie Savia, the brown beaker coming on, Beatrice Falmuina and the Croczilla, all at the same time. And then after that scrum, those three players were involved in the next two penalty plays for the All Blacks. The first one took the shot for goal, got another three, and then the second one they kicked for the line-out, couldn't quite finish the job. But those three players in particular, off the bench, unbelievable shift from the All Black time.
I love Beatrice. Whenever Beatrice comes on, things change.
Beatrice
is wonderful.
Can we set our sights for this weekend, Sky Sports commentator Scotty J. Stevenson? The Lions come back?
No.
You don't think they will?
No, I don't. The reason I don't is because, there's no doubt they'll train harder this week and they'll come with something new. But I think the Lions will just have to go back to the drawing board, because the All Blacks had their game plan in the palm of their hand and absolutely outplayed them, outsmarted them, outmuscled them. I mean, they outed everything.
They outed them, yeah.
Well, the other thing is Sky Sports commentator Scotty J. Stevenson, for the people who are watching, what I think the Lions thought they were going to do is spread the ball. And that's what they thought the All Blacks were going to try and get them out wide, because, you know, obviously the All Blacks are generally faster and fitter. But they didn't do that. They did the opposite. And I don't reckon the Lions were quite prepared for that.
Well, and this is the thing we talked about with the Chiefs, we talked about with the Crusaders, we talked about with the New Zealand Māori. The old adage is you've got to earn the right to go wide. You've got to earn the right to go wide. I mean, that's an adage for life, isn't it?
Great comment.
You've got to earn the right to go wide. And I tell you what, I've heard some amazing feedback from the night at the King's Arms and the ACC. I've heard some amazing feedback. And it would be great in some ways if the Lions can somehow level the series in Wellington, because I believe you're back at the King's Arms on July the 8th.
Absolutely. A great plug there for us, Sky Sports commentator Scotty J. Stevenson. You're a great New Zealander, and what a time to be a Kiwi sports fan. This is the middle of the Matt and Jerry podcast,
It's not the middle.
Well, close enough to the middle.
Yeah, but it's not the actual middle.
Okay. You are a certain ways through the Matt and Jerry podcast. There's still some great stuff to come, so listen to the end.
The rest of it's not very good either.
Okay. All right.
So waste of time, this little bit here.
All right. Okay. Well, I'll shut up then, shall I? Jesus Christ. Burling is a better sailor than Spittle, and he's currently spanking Spittle's butt in race two this morning. We won the first one, and the only person that's going to spank Spittle's butt harder is Larry Olsen, who spent all that money on Oracle. We are creaming them. Jerry, we've got two hands and a foot on the cup.
Yeah, well, let's get our foot off the cup because word is that there's some tinea that's broken out through the Team New Zealand camp. And you don't need that on the old mug. That's the last thing you need, because if someone else puts their foot on, there's some tinea that dates back to about 1780 on that cup.
To be fair, last time the old mug was in New Zealand, someone smashed the crap out of it. But
here we go.
Here we go.
Here we go. And we've crossed the line.
6-1. 6-1
up to New Zealand.
And this is a good old-fashioned pants-down spankorama.
Yeah. And the wankers on the shore wave their flags. And I've actually spoken to a couple of people who have been over there, and it's quite interesting. You've got to pay to get into the America's Cup Village over there.
Oh, do you?
It's quite a different vibe. Yeah, it's $50 US to get in. It's quite an expensive place, Bermuda, I'm told. And they hate the New Zealanders. They just hate us. They actually genuinely do hate us because we're potentially going to take it away from Bermuda.
It's a 30-second victory. So, you know, Spittle, that was all lost at the start with a great piece of sailing by Burling, who just outsailed Spittle to the point he had a standstill at the start. And won by 30 seconds, which was probably almost the, three-quarters of the advantage of that was right at the start, wasn't it, Jerry?
Yeah, it was. And look, our cyclists just go from strength to strength, don't they? The amazing thing is, for some of those cyclists, they haven't even seen the boat race. They've just got their heads down the whole time.
Well, some of them don't even know they're on a boat. They've kept that quiet.
Yeah, I told that one of them was actually a cyclist.
Yeah.
So one of them's never really been on a boat.
Yeah, he was an
Olympic
cyclist, got a bronze at the Olympics. So he's on there. His first time on a boat was cycling in a match race on the very boat we've got here. It doesn't matter. He doesn't care where he is.
No,
he doesn't. He has no idea where he is. They drug him and they put him on the boat and they tell him he's at a velodrome, and he just goes for it with his head down.
Well, this is great news for New Zealand. If you've just tuned in, New Zealand won the second race this morning from Bermuda. They're now 6-1 up. They've got to get to 7, and New Zealand will win the America's Cup.
You want to put your money in a viaduct leaker right now?
Oh, Jesus!
Sell your house where it is and buy a tiny leaky viaduct apartment.
Don't worry about the cladding on it. If it's got that wrap on the outside of it, now's the time to get in there. Forget about the body corporate fees. Just buy, buy, buy.
A one bedroom, one bathroom leaker on the viaduct. Put all your money in that, because the America's Cup is coming home.
It's coming back to New Zealand.
Matt Heath and Jeremy Wells, the Hauraki Breakfast.
As I was saying, Jerry, what a great time to be a Kiwi sports fan. Of course, America's Cup. We're up 6-1 now after Burling spanked Spittle. The only one that's spanking Spittle more than Burling will be Larry Olsen. He'll have Spittle's pants down all night just spanking him for that cock-up. And would you call it a cock-up in the second race? I think he was just outplayed by a better sailor.
It was a great manoeuvre. It was a great manoeuvre from Burling.
And, of course, the rugby on Saturday, and there's the best way to review a rugby match is using the Japanese poetry of haiku, which is 17 syllables, 5-7-5, Jeremy.
That's right. So who's going to start, Matt? You start or I start? Do you want me to start?
You start, eh?
Okay. Eden Park stunning. A black lacy pair of necks with blood and some use.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I'm calling for disqualification.
Why?
Because we talked about this, and I don't want you to describe what you're talking about there. You're talking about the red lions sort of outfits, and the red in amongst the black.
I'm talking about...
No, but don't say what it is.
No, I'm talking specifically about the crowd and the crowd shots and what happens when you get Lions fans and you get All Blacks fans in a crowd at night under lights, and what you get is a dark... Well, I'm just explaining it. This is just the darkness going on with the black from the All Black supporters, and then you get a redness coming through very, very gently, actually, just a light smattering of red, and some parts quite a large splattering of a red, and then you get the sort of the lighter streaks that are coming through from the where the aisles are.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry if I'm focused quite heavily on that. It's just unfortunately, it was very, very strong in my mind. I it was hard for me to take anything else out of that game.
I don't know where you get the lacy pair of, a black lacy pair of knicks.
They just looked lacy. Quite nice, actually. I thought the crowd looked fantastic.
Chris, can I call for disqualification on that? Is he disqualified?
It's touch and go.
Look, I think let the people decide.
Okay.
Let the people decide whose haiku is better. What, you go for your one.
Okay. Human ice cream bleeds. beautiful eye sockets read. Dick pic snorting speed.
Well, see, that's, I mean, dick pic snorting speed. What are you doing there?
Well, Aaron Smith.
It's defamatory.
No, I'm not saying that, because you've got so few syllables it can come out sounding a bit bung. Dick pic was snorting a lot because he was breathing so hard, and the speed he was getting the ball, he was delivering some good speedy ball, wasn't he?
Yeah, well, look, 0800 Hodaki, 0800 428 725. Five callers will decide whose haiku is better. Here's Johan from the ski trip, who was along at the event on Saturday night. G'day, Johan. Nice to see you on Saturday.
Yeah, nice to see you guys too. Morning.
Johan from the ski trip.
You had to bugger off quite early, Johan, because you're on your way back down to Hamilton.
Yeah, we had to get back down to Hamilton to pick the kids up, so we took off after the game, but I was definitely on the back foot most of yesterday.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Join the club.
Yeah, we were definitely on the back foot. Now, I didn't even get to explain my haiku. Human ice cream bleeds, that's number two. Jamie George from the back of the Lions. He got a bit of blood on his head. Beautiful eye sockets read when he just flicked it up after that fantastic scrum by the All Blacks to Dick Pick, and then that great try in the corner.
Do you want me to explain my one again?
No, let's move on.
Okay, Johan, whose haiku's better?
Matt's one.
Boom, thank you, Johan, from the ski ship. That's because we faced the Milky Pest together down in Awakuni and came out on top.
Good morning, welcome to the show. You're a new caller. What's your name?
ACW
with a new phone.
With a new phone. This is a work phone.
How are you? ACW on the work phone.
Anthony Christopher Whitehouse. Great, what a great New Zealander.
Good to hear from you, Anthony.
We haven't heard from you for a while, ACW. Where have you been?
Well, I've been trying to get through, but I think after DCW went over America, it's just been so hard to get through.
Yeah. How is DCW going?
Unemployed.
Yeah, you haven't got him a job for when he gets back?
Nah. Well, he's back now. I've lined him up with a job. He's just got to go through and hopefully get it.
Oh, hopefully. Great New Zealander. Great New Zealander is the pair of you.
Okay, ACW. Matt or my haiku?
Well, it's an absolute jizzer, isn't it?
Thank you for that. I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that greatly. One each, Dickie Bird Henderson. Who's haiku?
Well, after listening to both of them, I think it's more appropriate with the All Blacks winning. It would have been a red panty night for a lot of New Zealanders, so I'm going to have to go with yours, jizzer.
Thanks very much. Richard Dickie Bird.
Dickie Bird, let's go to PHA. Good morning.
Morning, boys. How's it going?
Good, thank you. Very good. I'm up 2-1 at this stage with my amazing description of the game. Matt was more focused on Dick Pick. Is that whose haiku is better, according to you, Nick?
I'm going to have to go for Jizzer as well.
So there we go. Look at that. So
what?
No disqualification.
Yours was disgusting. Human ice cream bleeds. Beautiful eye sockets read. Dick pick snorting speed. That's a great haiku. I'm gonna see if I can get this decision overturned in the courts.
Well, good luck with that.
Matt Heath and Jeremy Wells, the Hodaki Breakfast.
All right, let's get straight into these cyber bullies. The last round, the cyber bully prize pack this week features a $50 Hell Pizza voucher, but the person that is going to win that is set in stone. Voting and commenting is over. If you bully us now, it's in your own time. Jimmy Spittle was just reacting to you two punishers, continuing to beat the dead horse that is Jeremy's library find story from Carlin. Have we got that audio of Jimmy Spittle, or is it too blue?
Oh, we've got
Jimmy. Close your ears. This is the noise that Jimmy. This is what Jimmy Spittle said once he was well and truly gazumped by Burling before the start of the second race. Gazumped to a standstill.
Jimmy will be defending that vigorously here.
Oh, yeah. That language, that's disgusting. No need for that on a boat.
He's not going to win over the families, the household shoppers with kids if he's speaking like that. Your show stinks worse than James's farts at the King's Arms on Saturday night. P.S. I want my pack of Tramadol back, Matt.
I'll tell you what, James is flatulent because you've got 650 people enjoying a scintillating, exciting game of rugby, champagne performance by the All Blacks, but a lot of people were dealing with the fallout of James's fart, and I've already had those Tramadols, but thanks to all those people that slid me a tray of Tramadols at King's Arms. Keep those coming in.
Warren Gatlin has a meeting with Radio Hodaki bosses to complain about the breakfast show targeting his players' ears. That's good.
That's a very good one. Matt and Jerry are the Grot Lane post-steam porcelain crime of morning radio.
Jesus. The Hodaki breakfast was on in Subway this morning. My natural reaction was to start throwing tomato slices at the radio.
I thought you two wounding excuses for living organisms were just an act for radio. Alas, having met you two on the weekend, I confirm you are both embarrassments to mankind. Kiss, hug, kiss, kiss, hug.
All right, that's it. Coming up next, we announce the winner of this morning's Cyberbully Monday for Monday, the 26th of June, 2017. There's Joy Division.
What a tune. It's true, it will. Love will tear you apart in the end, people. Don't bother. Stay lonely.
Matt and Jerry's show, 8:52 on Radio Hodaki. The judges have made the decisions, and now it's time for the Hodaki Breakfast Weekly Cyber Bully Awards Ceremony.
Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Congeniality.
If you two floating punishers were in the America's Cup, your sail would be David Bain's sweater, and the only foils you'd be on would be supplied by Abe from Whakamana. Sounds quite good, actually.
Please welcome our runner-up.
Warren Gatland has a meeting with Radio Hodaki bosses to complain about the breakfast show targeting his players' ears.
That's good. That's good, that one.
And the winner of Cyber Bully Monday.
With Team New Zealand certain to win, property values in Auckland's Viaduct Basin plummeted dangerously this morning following news that Matt and Jerry were interested in buying an apartment in the area. Residents were seen leaving in droves, taking with them only what they could carry.
With Team New Zealand certain to win, property values in Auckland's Viaduct Basin plummeted dangerously this morning following news that Matt and Jerry were interested in buying an apartment in the area. Residents were seen leaving in droves, taking with them only what they could carry. You're this morning's winner of Cyber Bully Monday. Congratulations.
Thanks for sitting through another Matt and Jerry show on Radio Hauraki.
This podcast was brought to you by our bloody great mates at MyRepublic, the internet service provider that knows no limits. And when you sign up to MyRepublic using the promo code podcast, you will get 1 month free on top of what's already a bloody great deal.
MyRepublic. Like us at times, they know no limits.